be with you in convention here in Vancouver. As has been said many times previously, we love to be with the Lord's children. We hope to be with them throughout eternity. And we're glad for the opportunity to start now, or to continue with them now. We want to bring to you the love, part of the love of the brethren in Portland. Perhaps most of you know that the Portland class is getting smaller and older. In the many years that they have been in the truth, they have acquired a considerable lot of love for the truth, for the Lord, for the brethren. So as someone previously from this platform brought half of the love from their class, I bring half the love from the Portland class to you. Especially Brother and Sister Brown of the Portland Ecclesia wanted to send their love to you also. Our thoughts for today are going to be along the subject of the place for Jehovah's name. I was quite astonished when I found how many times this is mentioned in the Old Testament. There's 24 verses where it speaks of the place for Jehovah's name. We will look at some of them presently. First, we want to note the building of the Ark of the Covenant. It's given in the 25th chapter of Exodus, verses 8 to 22, to tell about the construction of the Ark of the Covenant. We're not going to read all of these because you are quite familiar with it. We do want to call attention, though, to the fact that the Ark of the Covenant itself was a type of the Christ complete. And above the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. And upon the mercy seat were two cherubim. And between the cherubim was the Shekinah light. And here we have, in the mercy seat, there is a picture of Jehovah's justice, the place where satisfaction was made. The two cherubim, one on either end of the mercy seat, represented the God's character of love and power. And his wisdom represented in the Shekinah light. The character of Jehovah, the four attributes of Jehovah, and the Christ complete represented in the ark and the top structure that was constructed there. We might at first thought then think that this was where Jehovah chose to place his name. I forgot to read my text. The text is in Deuteronomy 12, 10 and 11. Deuteronomy 12, 10 and 11. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord our God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Jehovah your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto Jehovah. So we see that the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the four attributes of Jehovah is not the place where Jehovah chose to place his name there. Rather, this seems to be the name Jehovah represented here. And Jehovah would choose a place where this should be placed. In Deuteronomy 12, this expression is used five times. In Deuteronomy 14, it is used three times. In Deuteronomy 16, it is used six times. So in those three chapters, the expression, the place where Jehovah chose to place his name there, is given 14 times. Altogether, 24 times in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 12, 5 to 7 read, But go unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall ye come. And thither shall ye bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, your vows and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Then our text we will read again in the 10th and 11th verses. When ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which Jehovah your God shall give you to inherit, and which where he hath given you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye shall dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which Jehovah your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command, so on. I'll call attention to the word inherit in the 10th verse. This word is not yorash, as it is in the 15th chapter of Genesis. This inherit means the mode of descent from father to son, keeping the property in the family. And after the land was conquered, that was the mode of descent. That was the way the children of Israel inherited the property from father to son, to his son, keeping the family, this homestead, in their own family group. And thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt rejoice before Jehovah thy God in all that thou puttest thine hand thereto. They were to come to the place where Jehovah chose to place his name there. Now after they came into the land, the first place that the tabernacle was set up was at Gilgal, just a short distance east of Jericho. The tabernacle remained there for the 6 years that they were conquering the land. Shortly thereafter, the tabernacle was removed to Shiloh. Shiloh was perhaps 20 miles more or less north of Jerusalem. The tabernacle remained in Shiloh most of the period of the judges. The period of the judges, you recall, was 450 years. The tabernacle was set there at the end of the 6 years of the conquering of the land, and it remained there until the high priest Eli. At the time of Eli, you recall that the tabernacle, that the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. It never was returned to Shiloh. When the Philistines sent the Ark of the Covenant home on the cart, it was placed in a home in Kirjath-Jearim, and it remained in this home in Kirjath-Jearim until David came to take it to Jerusalem. Now, in Deuteronomy 16, 1 and 2, we believe it is quite important. Deuteronomy 16, 1 and 2. Observe the month of Abib. We usually call it Nisan, same month, the first month of that year. And keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib, Jehovah thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Jehovah thy God of the flock and the herd in the place where Jehovah shall choose to place his name there. And note that no longer did they kill the Passover at their own home. They were to go to the place where Jehovah chose to place his name, or Shiloh at the first, and kill their lamb there. In fact, the people were not to kill their own lambs. The priests or the Levites killed the lambs for them. There are 7 references to the keeping the Passover in the Bible, only 7. By that we do not understand that they did not keep it year by year, but there are really only 7 references to direct Passovers, the first one being in Egypt, which is the type, the only type, which is of great importance to us as Bible students, as followers of the Lamb. And the next Passover was kept at Mount Sinai. There is no detail given of that. The third one was kept in Gilgal. The only point of reference given there was that all the males were circumcised before they kept the Passover. That was the third. The fourth, in the 30th chapter of 2 Chronicles, King Hezekiah had found, or those responsible had found, the tables of the law and the requirements of the law respecting the Passover, and Hezekiah and these others in charge were very sorrowful of the condition that Israel had gotten into, and they wanted to keep the Passover. But the Passover time came, the first month, the 14th day of the month. The priests were unclean, the Levites were unclean, the people were unclean, and they couldn't keep the Passover. So they said, well, we'll keep it in the second month, as was provided by Jehovah. So when the 10th day, or the 14th day of the second month, they kept the Passover. And at this Passover, it is recorded that the Levites slew the lambs. And the priest, then the Levites gave the blood to the priest, and the priest sprinkled it upon the altar and poured the balance at the base of the altar. The same is recorded in the 35th chapter of 2 Chronicles under King Josiah. Josiah perhaps was the best king that Israel had, except David. And again, they kept the Passover with much the same detail as given in the 30th chapter. And the sixth Passover recorded is in the book of Ezra, where the people who had returned to Jerusalem kept the Passover with Ezra. And the seventh, our Lord's Last Supper in Israel, which is where Jesus established an antitype which we remember in our memorial service. Deuteronomy 16, 5 and 7, 5 to 7. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which Jehovah thy God giveth thee, but at the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast it and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou shalt turn in the morning and go to thy tents. Well, you see that there were changes in the memorial of the Passover which the Jews kept. They did not keep it exactly as it was in the land of Egypt. There were a number of items of interest, points of necessity in the land of Egypt, which never again occurred. For instance, never again were the firstborns liable to death on that night. Never again did the destroying angel pass through to kill anyone. Never again was it essential that they sprinkle the doorposts and the lintels with the blood. In fact, they didn't kill the lamb at their own house. They did not have the blood to sprinkle. It was no longer necessary because there was no more destroying angel. And another point in Egypt, which never again occurred, was that in Egypt the firstborn were the ones who were subject to death in that night if they did not stay under the blood. And remember that before the next Passover came, before a year later, the firstborns as such had been exchanged for the Levites, and the Levites then took the place of the firstborn. No longer were the firstborns in that picture. In Joshua 18, 1 and 10, we read, the whole congregation of Israel assembled together at Shiloh, and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them, before this time. We read in the 10th verse, and Joshua cast lots for them, for the families, in Shiloh, before Jehovah, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their division. You note that it was in Shiloh where they cast lots for what land they would get. The tabernacle was set up there, The division of the land was accomplished at Shiloh. In Judges 18:29-31, there is a reference to Shiloh. We'll read it. It is Judges 18:29-31. And they called the place of the city Dan. You remember part of the tribe of Dan were dissatisfied with their allotment, and they went up to the north of Israel and took a parcel of land up there, destroying the natives of the land. They took it for themselves. And they called that city Dan, after the name Dan, their father, who was born unto Israel. Albeit the name of the city was Laish at first. And the children of Dan set up a graven image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. We're not just sure of the application of this, but we do know for sure that the Ark of the Covenant never returned to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, after the Philistines had it. We might call attention here, there's an error in the King James translation. This word Manasseh in the 30th verse, Judges 18:30, says Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh. So the word Manasseh should be Moses. Jonathan was Moses' grandson. And the last five chapters of Judges are out of place. That's chapters 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Chapters 17 and 18, Dan moves north. Jonathan, the grandson of Moses, becomes a priest. And chapters 19 to 21, Benjamin is almost annihilated. Chapter 20, 28, Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, is a leader. Well, it is not possible that the grandsons of Aaron and of Moses could have lived through the period of the judges, 450 years, so that these two narratives should occur at the end of the period of the judges. Rather, they would be up near the beginning of the book of Judges. You recall that Moses and Aaron both died before Israel entered the promised land. So we have said the tabernacle was in Shiloh for nearly 400 years. And the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. You recall the incident, taken from one city to another city. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, there was a plague of some kind upon the Philistines, and finally they agreed to send the Ark of the Covenant back, and they sent with it gold, which they had forecast into different forms. The ark did not go immediately to Kirjath-Jearim. It went down into a place in the valley, Beth Shemesh. And it seemed that the priests lived in Beth Shemesh. Many priests. How many, we do not know. We are not given the names of very many of the priests. But it came to Beth Shemesh, and the people there looked into the ark. The record says in 1 Samuel 6:19 that 50,070 people died at Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the Ark of the Covenant. And because of this, the people of Beth Shemesh sent a message up to Kirjath-Jearim to the Levites who stayed up there, who lived there in Kirjath-Jearim. They told them, come down and get the ark and take it up there to you. They didn't want it any longer down here in the valley. And the Ark of the Covenant stayed there until David took it to Jerusalem. In the second chapter, in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 15. David is coming, has come to get the Ark of the Covenant. You remember that they tried to carry it on a cart, and the cart jiggled, and a man put his hand on it to steady it, and he was stricken dead. He was not supposed to have touched the Ark. He wasn't in charge of the Ark. He wasn't the Levite. Then David held up the procession again. They took the Ark of the Covenant into a house, and it stayed there for 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom. And then David and the priests and Levites studied to see what should be done, and they found that it should be carried by the Levites, and then it was carried to the carried by the Levites to Jerusalem, and David and all Israel rejoiced to have the Ark in Jerusalem. Now the Jeremiah 7, 8 to 15. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these abominations? Is this my house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith Jehovah. But go ye now to my place which was in Shiloh. Notice, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people. In the 14th verse, therefore will I do unto this house, Jerusalem, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, unto the place which I have, which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done in Shiloh. Shiloh had been cast off. Jerusalem was cast off. In Psalm 78, verse 60, it says so, that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tents which he placed. So he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tents which he placed among men. It was from these verses in Jeremiah and in Psalms that I determined where it was the first place that Jehovah had chosen to place his name there, in Shiloh. I couldn't find it in Deuteronomy. Now, those were types. The tabernacle was in two places, in Shiloh and in Jerusalem, where Jehovah chose to place his name. Now the word Shiloh occurs again, or really it occurred the first time in Genesis 49, where Jacob was blessing the tribe of Judah. Jacob was on his deathbed. In the 10th verse, Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. According to Smith's Bible Dictionary, the word Shiloh means peaceful rest or the sun. Each of these definitions could apply to Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus in the flesh, where Jehovah chose to place his name in Jesus. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. This Shiloh then seems to be the whole church in the flesh, where Jehovah has chosen to place his name preparatory to the New Jerusalem, where Jehovah will place his name, where it will remain forever. In Ezekiel 21, verses 25 to 27, where Zedekiah is cut off, the 27th verse, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. It was given to our Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. Oh, in Hebrews 1, 1 to 9, there are several expressions. The word Shiloh does not occur there, but there are expressions which refer to the church, and the thought of Shiloh, the church in the flesh, is there. But we want to go on Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called our righteousness of Jehovah. Our Lord Jesus was called our righteousness of Jehovah, his name. And Jeremiah 33:15-17, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he will execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, Jehovah, or our righteousness of Jehovah. And the bridegroom was called our righteousness of Jehovah. The bride was called our righteousness of Jehovah. This was the name given to them by Jehovah. In Psalm 133:13, the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired her for his habitation. Or it doesn't say the place where he chose to place his name there, but he chose Zion, which he hath desired for his habitation. Psalms 48:11-14, let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about in Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, and consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. Revelation 21:1-3. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 21:9-14. There came unto me one of the angels which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and the light was like unto the stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and in the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. In the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. The name which Jehovah chose to place there. Revelation 3:12. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name, the glorified Christ. The real place, the final place where Jehovah has chosen to place his name there. Revelation 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. What an honor
from Jehovah.
Not an empty honor as the world of mankind speaks of honor. An honor from Jehovah God to be chosen to this place, a place in the New Jerusalem, a place among the 144,000, the bride of Christ, to have Jehovah's name written there, a place where Jehovah has chosen to have his name written forevermore, typified back here by the Ark of the Covenant, the Christ complete. So we have Shiloh, the Christ in the flesh, in perfect human bodies for the suffering and death, persecuted and abandoned. We might draw another picture from Shiloh, that the Ark of the Covenant did not return there. Shiloh, because of the sins of Israel, because of the wickedness of the sons of Eli, particularly, the priesthood was set aside momentarily. The Ark of the Covenant was taken out into a wilderness condition, no longer in the tabernacle, which had been the place where Jehovah's name was. So here in this age of sacrifice, in God's due time, the true church was taken out of the nominal systems where Jehovah's name had been, and they were given a place in the wilderness where Jehovah had nourished them and brought them along until the present time. The New Jerusalem, the Christ in glory, divine beings, immortal bodies, ruling in righteousness, restoring all who will come to the rivers of life and partake of the waters thereof. Shall we think of anything else, brethren? Shall we build ourselves any idols to come between us and our Heavenly Father, Jehovah? Jehovah will not tolerate idols which we would build. The only one prior to the church upon whom he would place honor was his only beloved Son, his only begotten Son, the only one of the original angelic host who was to be raised to the divine nature. And look at us. Michael the archangel, the highest of the angels, chosen by Jehovah to be raised from that plane to the divine nature and then coming down to the mankind upon this earth and taking out from here imperfect human beings and setting them, preparing them for their place in the body of Christ. And note in Revelation that this church is to be Israelitish. There were to be 12,000 members of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now we who are Gentiles by nature are fitting into one of those tribes. It's immaterial to us what tribe. What difference does it make to us what place we get in the body? Jehovah is placing the members in the body as it pleaseth him. Even Jesus couldn't do that, as he told James and John, or the mother of James and John, with them. The Father set the members in the body as it pleaseth him. And it is Jehovah who has been doing the drawing. No man cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. If he needs a member to fill a little place, he draws a member which will fill a little place. As a brother brought out, the talents were distributed according to their various abilities. So the Father is drawing those whom he knows may fit, if they will. It's up to them. He invites them to come and fit into a certain place which he has chosen in the body of Christ. Let us be faithful even unto death. Let us keep our affection set on things above, not on the things of the earth. The things of the earth are so trivial. What have we here to give up, to lose, which is of any value in consideration of the great prize which is set before us? May God help each one of us to be faithful even unto death.